The greatest drummers in the world in the palm of your hand. From the heart of Berlin, the Drum Trainer Online Podcast.
Hello, eine weitere Ausgabe vom Drum Trainer Online Podcast. Und zwar ein Interview mit einem sehr interessanten Drummer, original eigentlich aus dem schönen Ungarn, der aber schon seit Ewigkeiten in London lebt und inzwischen auch britischer Staatsbürger ist, hat sich aber seinen charmanten ungarischen Akzent erhalten, sage ich mal. Der tolle Gábor Dorni. Geiler Typ, kann richtig spielen, hat was zu erzählen, spricht auch gut Deutsch und ist echt witzig. Hab viel gelacht mit dem Kollegen. Ein Wahnsinnstyp, wenn der mal einen Workshop bei euch in der Nähe macht, sowas macht er nämlich gerne, wenn sowas wieder geht, wir sind ja gerade in der Pandemie, dann hin da. Geiler Typ. Viel Spaß beim Interview mit Gábor Dorni. Drum Trainer Online, meine Damen und Herren, the amazing Gábor Gabs Dorni in our studio. I'm so happy to have you here, Gábor.
Thank you. Thanks
Gábor
for
is an
me.
Old friend of us. He was at Drum Trainer Berlin a couple of times. An old friend. I'm not saying you're old. I'm an old friend. I'm so happy to have you here. Gábor, we talk about your life. So you are from London, but originally you are from
Hungary,
Budapest.
Yes, my roots are back in Hungary. My family roots are back in from Hungary. And I was born in the south of Hungary in a university town called Szeged. Oh. It's the fifth biggest town in Hungary. It's not a big place, but it's a lovely, gorgeous place which I miss dearly. 200,000 people roughly live there, and great food. Oh my God, tell me about it. And when I was 17, I moved up to Budapest because of the music life, you know, just like in any other countries, really, you know, all the biggest and the best quality music life always happens in the capital, just like in Germany, here in Berlin, same in the UK, in London. So I moved up to Budapest and I lived there for a while. Of course, I've been already touring.
You studied there or?
Yes, I had wonderful teachers there, mainly privately. When I was around 10, I went to elementary school back in my hometown, so I had a fantastic teacher there, gave me like a solid foundation, which is extremely important for the new, young and upcoming drummers to be able to read and have a solid foundation. And then later on, I carried on in Budapest, and ever since I'm learning from myself, you know, just checking out drummers. It's an endless learning curve for me. You know, I've been playing for 30 years. This is my 30th. Anniversary drumming tour. I started when I was 10 and I've been playing for 30 years, so now I'm 21. Easy to count. And then when I was 29, I relocated to London and been there for 12 years now. So I'm enjoying it. I've always been attracted to London. I love London, but I'm really traveling the world. So sometimes in the US, this year, two times I've been to China. Next year I'm going to Australia, all over Europe. So pretty busy life that I'm living.
It sounds like that. So why London? You said it, you felt attracted to it, pop music. You are somehow a fusion player. You could play a lot, but you also worked for some pop gigs like the Thriller.
Yes,
musical.
The Thriller live show, I was really lucky to get that gig. That was a Michael Jackson show from the West End. So we played all the Michael Jackson hits, and that was gonna be a build-up tour for the big comeback of Michael Jackson in 2009. 2009, and when he's supposed to have the This Is It tour, right. So that was his big scheduled 50 concert comeback at the O2 Arena, which never happened, sadly, because he's died during the rehearsal period in LA, and he was going to come to see our show, and we were going to be just a 6 month long UK tour to build the whole hunger and interest for his comeback gigs in the UK audiences. And during the rehearsal period, unfortunately, he's died. So people realized that we're never going to see him live again. So our tour just got extended. So first they added another 3 months, and then another 9 months, and then another year. So I ended up being on that world tour for 3 consecutive years. And we've been to, you know, China, South Africa, all over Europe. We did 8 months in Germany, Switzerland, everywhere in Scandinavia, several UK tours, then down south, Italy we did 5 weeks, Greece for 4 weeks. So it was a dream come true. A very disciplined job, so like very different than what I do nowadays, playing freely and playing solos and Latin and all that. That was a pop gig, same show, 8 times a week. So that was like, woof, like a concentration.
And so you had to play an audition to get that gig? Was there like an audition situation?
Yeah, a massive audition. I mean, I think there was like 300 drummers interested initially. But there was like a pre-selection, and I had very good references from my Budapest years, because in Budapest I was very busy as well, on top of playing the National Radio Big Band, which is like playing in the BBC Big Band, you know, when you're in London.
Right.
So that was, I played in a Hungarian National Radio Big Band for 4 years. I did all the recordings for Walt Disney and all the theater shows, pop gigs, everything.
Oh, did they do Walt Disney recordings in Hungary?
Yes, very often, very often. They have two main places. It's either in London, or Paris, or in Budapest, in the radio orchestra. Yes, yes, yes. And I was on all of those recordings.
That's great. So you all also played with an orchestra and big band?
80-piece orchestra,
classical orchestra. So you're good with playing with a conductor?
You have to be, yes, right. You have to be.
How did you learn that? Was that from elementary music school?
Not really. You only learn it live, you know, when you're doing it. But I was very lucky, because my private teacher, Peter Sendorf, he's a fantastic drummer. You got to check him out. His mother is a piano player and a conductor. And I started subbing for him when I was 17. I was really lucky. So very early on, I got into the musical theater world, which is totally different from the pop rock world. Because when you're in a pop rock gig, you have to follow the click, and you got to be tight with it and repeat all the time. When you're with the conductor, it might be different every night, depending on the mood, depending on the speed, depending on the singers, on the whole show, how the whole thing develops and evolves. And you just need to follow, you need to pay extra attention to the conductor, because you got to be together with all the 80 people. So it's a very, very different and a huge learning curve. I would suggest everybody's got to try and learn it. So I was very lucky that I got into that scene through my teacher, and I started subbing for him. And from that moment onwards, that really helped me on my career later.
That's great. I just had that interview with Pooji Bell a couple of months ago in my car back from Dresden, and he said he was working with Roberta Fleck, and they were recording with a big orchestra, and I asked him the same question. I go, are you good with playing with the conductor? Fuck no, I told him to fucking follow me. You follow me.
You follow me.
I got a spot. I played one time with an orchestra, and it was very, very hard. So you are a very good reader then, I would say.
I have to be. Well, you're never happy with your performance, but I was very lucky, because when I was 19, 200 years ago, I was flown out to the Bahamas to do a cruise ship contract. Now, that was another big learning curve. I remember, you know, practicing in my little cabin, you know, reading saxophone charts and piano charts, just to read something that I'd never seen before. So I wanted to exercise myself to really challenge myself and just read something that I definitely don't remember or definitely never seen before. So I was thrown into the deep water, to be honest. But luckily I had a training in the sort of a national elementary music school in Hungary, and I was taught to read from the first moment onwards, really, since I had a music education. And when I was 19, I had this cruise ship gig around the Bahamas, which was an amazing fun, very different to what I've done before, because it was like, you know, 1 hour rehearsal for a 1 hour show. So we had a 7 o'clock show call. I was in the show band. Now, like, two different types of bands working on the cruise ship. One is the dance band, which is much more relaxed, because you have a certain program, and that's what you repeat. It can be really tedious and boring because you repeat the same program. You get a little bit less paid, but it's so much less stressful, because when you're in the show band, like where I was, you just had to read off the paper like immediately, because the click just carried on, the performance carried on, and you just need to be able to follow. So everybody was a top
reader. So all programmed with clicks.
Yes, yeah. So you had to follow the click, follow the chart, follow the singer, lead the band. So it was like, oh my God. And I was 19 at the time. So it was a deep water. I was thrown into it, and I managed to survive. So I was happy. And then later on, I was invited back as a band leader to another cruise ship in Japan. I spent 4 months over there. And then I got the, when I came back from there, 2004, I got the Budapest Radio big band job, which was, again, a big time read. Like, we literally played different program every single day. So I had to come up in the studio, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, it was red light. Recording, playing, boom. So reading for the first time. And so through my career, and also in the West End, you know, where I work quite often in London, all the shows are reading jobs. So you better be a reader, you know. I mean, recently, just last month, I played the London Drum Show main stage at the Olympia Conference Center in London, which has been a dream for me and also a great pleasure. And we had a Keith Moon tribute gig. And our mutual idol, you know, J.R. Robinson, was there headlining the show. And there was a Keith Moon tribute gig where we happened to play after each other. And what a pro. He was the guy who showed up with everything notated, charted. Everything was out there. He put the music up and he read it off the paper. And it just went like, oh my God, that's a lesson to learn, you know?
He's very well educated, I would say. Oh. He was sitting here, I interviewed him, and he was telling some stories about those Universal studio bands where he plays in like in a little booth, he can't even see the conductor and he still fucking follows it.
Yeah.
An amazing guy.
Yes, yeah. But what a legacy and what a history he's got. It's fantastic.
Isn't that? I was researching. I mean, I'm a nerd about him anyway. But then I was researching all the songs he played on. Some of I didn't even know that he was the drummer on Seal Crazy and all that stuff. Like, amazing. Talking about heroes, who like tell me your main hero or your main three heroes.
Well, oof, I have main 300, but probably my biggest favorite or definitely the first three. If I have to say first three, Billy Cobham made an incredible impression on me with his flamboyant roles and open-handed style. That was something I always wanted to do. So there was, if there was one thing I would change in my playing, it was definitely be I would only play open-handed. So I still do now, but you know, I was already like playing 15, 20 years cross-handed, so it's more difficult to switch after that because you have your habits and you're used to that kind of sound and everything. But if I could, I would never play cross-handed again. So Billy Cobham with his approach and left hand lead on the right handed kit that really rocked my world, and it still does. And then Peter Erskine for the jazz that he plays is incredible, because I came from a rock background, so it again depends, you know, where you come from. Like, say for example, for someone whose dad always listened to jazz and big band and everything, playing the swing is a natural thing because that's what they hear in their childhood. For me, it was the rock and the metal stuff because me and my sister were big rockers. So for me, playing the double kick was absolutely natural. So my first, although it doesn't really show in my playing in the sense that now I totally changed and widen the musical horizon in a sense that I'm playing Latin and fusion and multi-pedal orchestration and everything. But so I came from a rock background. That's why for me, learning jazz and swing and all that independence and the phrasing and the different tempos and everything, it was a challenging thing. And Peter Erskine rocked my world with his video titled Everything is Timekeeping. So for all the youngsters and all the students here, if you ever want to buy one good drum DVD, make it Peter Erskine, Everything is Timekeeping, because you can learn from that for the next 20 years. The timing and everything he plays and musicality he plays with, the wisdom he shares. I mean, I watched that instructional, it was a VHS tape because I'm in the 70s guys. I was born in the 70s. So I grew up in the 80s, 90s, and it was VHS tapes. I watched it so many times, at least 500 times, that I know the next sentence, what he's going to say. You know, that's one of those things. So Peter Erskine rocked my world. And then came Horacio with the left foot clave and Latin independence. And him,
he was also sitting right.
That's
here.
Totally unbelievable. What a great pleasure for me to be here after all these guys. So Horacio and Terry Bozzio with his crazy setup, multi-pedal setup, you know, for Terry, and the musicality and the solo ideas. You would struggle to fit him into this place.
No fucking way. I've seen him like a couple of years ago in Gmunden with this spaceship.
Yes,
it took them like 4 hours to build it up.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So he's
a great.
I love daring people. He's a daring mofo, you know, who's just came up with something that nobody has done before. I mean, how unique. And you say, Terry Bozzi, whether you like the big drum kit or not, doesn't matter. It's not, it's coming up with something and playing differently than anybody else. And that's the ultimate message for the new players, I think, for the youngsters, that you don't have to try to sound like anybody else. You got to be able to find your own voice on the instrument, and that's going to make you sound like a unique player. Because who needs the copies anymore? Who needs a Dave Wackel number 275? You know, and you're never going to play like him, never going to sound like him. That's his style, that's his playing, and it's wonderful, totally amazing. So I think I love these daring players, and also you recognize them in a second because they have a signature sound, they have a signature time feel, they have a signature vocabulary, signature phrasing that they go to, and you just hear them. And it's, you know, same with Dennis Chambers and all the big boys, Steve Gadd, from the snare sound and from the fills, from the groove, from the pocket, you just feel like, oh my God, I know who that guy is. And that's the amazing, the most unbelievable thing that you can achieve as a drummer.
Yeah, that's great. So that was one of my questions anyway. So you just gave the answer, like a tip to the youngsters. Mm. So what's next? You are a family dad since 2 years? Or?
Yes. My little man is becoming two in February.
So that changed your life a bit?
Yes. Way less practice. Early mornings, late nights, because you're always running late with the work and the deadlines and everything. So you do most of your work when the little man goes to sleep. So it means that you start maybe at 9, 10 o'clock in the evening and you stay up till late, and then 10 past 6 he goes, "Wah, Dada, where's my milk?" So, but it's amazing. I wouldn't change for the world. You know, he's a real game changer. He's a wonderful, I mean, he gives us so much joy and happiness. So unbelievable happiness. I'm really proud of him. He's improving, he's learning every day. Everything that is drum related is bam, bam for him. So when I come home from a gig with a cymbal case and snare drum, he runs there and starts hitting the case. Bam, bam. So I'm just melting, you know. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. So
how old is he now?
He's 20 months. So in February, he's going to be two.
So he's almost the same age like my little one. Yeah, he's pretty much the same. So, and was that a reason why you opened your drum school too? That, like, your family, or you just recently opened the drum school in London?
Yes, well, that's my second school, really, because I've got my private studio in my garden, which is a game changer. I was really happy to have that. It's also, you know, London is an extremely expensive place, and it's very difficult to practice anywhere, or even just story or gear. And I've got this great pleasure that in my garden I managed to soundproof the garage. It's a large garage, 28 square meters, so it's a large single garage, and I'm doing my Skype lessons from there and private lessons mainly for adults and more sort of like semi-pro or advanced students. But I had a lot of requests for beginners and kids, and I recognized that basically I'd grown out of my home studio in a sense. I just don't have more hours in a day. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I formed the Harrow Drum School, which is located at the Harrow Arts Center, which is like 5 minutes drive from my house. And my master's students, university level 7 master's students from the ICMP University, where I'm on faculty for 6 years now, they teach there for me. So basically, they are my my soldiers who fly the flag for Gabriel Studio, for myself, and Harrow Drum School. And it's going really well. So we're filling the third day. If you think about it, that's only 7 days in a week. The third day is filling with two open days only. So the phone is ringing, emails coming in, so it's nicely picking up. It's a lot of work, but I'm very happy.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. You just mentioned the ICMP, Institute of Contemporary Music Performance.
Yes.
That's a great school. And that's in Kilburn.
Yeah, northwest London.
We visited a lot of times. So that's how many days you are there a week?
Well, it depends. At the moment, I'm doing the Tuesdays. So I'm there on the Tuesdays, and I'm also teaching on the master's program. And the master's program is flexible. So I can either do my lessons on campus at ICMP, or the students can come to me to Gabby Road. So we pretty much schedule according to my touring life and tour schedule and whether they are available and how we do. So there's some flexibility on that one, as long as we complete the 10 lessons per term that they have with me, like private lessons.
That's great. So I always see that on Facebook. You're touring the fucking world. So one day in China, next day in South America. So besides doing the clinics, you have a quartet now with what's his name again?
Stanley Jordan.
Right.
Stanley Jordan is a groundbreaking guitar piano virtuoso. He had several number one hits on the Billboard charts. One of his albums was for 49 weeks number one on the Jazz Billboard charts. He's literally played with everybody. He played with Miles Davis and a lot of the top guys. We started playing with Stanley 2 years ago in 2016 with Cornel Horvath. He's my percussionist partner in crime in Thunder Duo. That is my drums and percussion band that we've been running since 2005. So 13 years now. Thunder Duo is rocking. We've been on several tours. Last year we completed an American tour, Northern American tour. We played all over Europe. And this year we made it to South America. We've been headliners at the Santiago Jazz Festival in Chile. And also did a whole tour with Stanley. And the fourth member is a Chilean bass player called Christian Galvez, who is totally amazing, like a virtuoso. He played with Billy Cobham for years, and currently he's in the Dennis Chambers Trio. So and also plays with Stanley and us. So it's a wonderful quartet, a great pleasure. And we just filmed a whole live concert in Budapest at the sold-out Palace of Art. So I'm really looking forward to see that footage.
So you're still going to Budapest from time to time. Cornel, he lives in Budapest.
Yeah, Cornel lives in Budapest. I only go for work or for Christmas, to see the family. I don't, or sometimes a little bit of holiday, but it's very little because I just...
You don't have any holiday.
who's got a time for that? I remember the word from my distant memory, but it's long gone.
You have to take that time.
Yeah, I know. You have to make the time for holidays, yeah.
Great, Gábor. Hey, we've talked about everything. Guys, check out Gábor in his tutorials. Amazing stuff. See him on the road. He's always somewhere. So the chance is very good that you see him in your hometown. Gábor, thanks so much.
Thanks ever so much.
I see you around.
Yes.
Drumtrainer Online, meine Damen und Herren. Bis dann. Tschüss.
Tschüss. Bye-bye.
So Leute, wenn euch das gefallen hat, dann gebt uns doch bitte mal ein Like und noch viel wichtiger, abonniert den Podcast, damit ihr ja nichts verpasst. Und wenn ihr diese ganzen geilen Trommelschweine mal in Action sehen wollt, besucht auf jeden Fall unsere Webseite drumtrainer.online. Da findet ihr über 600 Videotutorials mit über 60 Dozenten. Und da sind wir ziemlich stolz drauf und das kann sich sehen lassen. Also schaut mal vorbei, wir sehen uns oder hören uns. Liebe Grüße aus Berlin.